Writer Anne Lamont says that when her son was 6 years old, he explained to her why God is called God. The explanation went like this. "It's because," said Sam, "when you see something really good, you just say, 'God!'" The Apostle Paul, as far as we know, spent his whole adult life trying to explain to people why God is called God. Paul was desperate for everyone he met to know the truth about God and to have the opportunity to deepen their connection with God through the grace of Jesus Christ. Here in the Bible, in the section called the Acts of the Apostles, which could also have been accurately named the activities of the followers of Jesus in the years immediately after Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead, but maybe that was a little too long, so they just call it the Acts of the Apostles. We learn here that one of the places that Paul went to try to explain to people about God was the great city of Athens. The Athenians were curious people. And some of them, after they got wind of Paul's arrival in the city and heard about some of the things that he was saying as he traveled around meeting people, they decided they wanted to learn from him. And so they asked him to come to the public forum that was known as the Areopagus, and they asked him to explain himself. "May we know this new teaching that you are presenting?" they asked. "It sounds rather strange to us, and so we would like to know what it means." This is how Paul answered them. This is Acts chapter 17, beginning with verse 22 and reading through to the end of the chapter. Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor, he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for God and find God, though indeed God is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of the Athenians scoffed. But others said, "We'll hear you again about this." At that point, Paul left them, but some of them joined him and became believers, including Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them. The thing that inspires me the most about Paul's speech is his conviction that God is never far from any one of us, and that God wants to be known by us. God's hope is that we live with an awareness of God's nearness and God's graciousness toward us. God's intent is not to be absent or hard to find. God's intent is to be so close that when any one of us begins to grope around, which is something we do when we can't see very well and we're trying to find our way, trying to find God, we will bump into God almost at once and begin to recognize God's presence all around us. Paul even suggests it's actually sort of like we're inside God's womb. we're living and moving and having our being here, whether we know it or not. It's an image I'm rather fond of, God as the pregnant mother. And I'm impressed that Paul lifts up images and ideas that his audience is already familiar with in order that he might try to make a connection with them. Paul is acting boldly on his belief that we can help each other in our efforts to find God by sharing the truth as we have come to know it with one another. Paul was a great teacher and proclaimer of the gospel because he gave his whole self passionately to the task. In the church, on our best days, we follow Paul's example by observing and listening and respecting the good qualities that we see in others, and when invited, sharing what we've learned in our life experience about God and about Jesus. Not everybody listens, not everybody can take it in, not everybody accepts what we have to say, but sometimes we can expand each other's minds and hearts in ways that seem almost miraculous. Sometimes when we speak the truth that has come to us, we find that we've gained new companions on the journey of faith. Just a few days ago, Patty Smith was kind enough to share with me the story of how her childhood Sunday school teacher changed the course of her life. This Sunday school teacher was also a physical education teacher at the school that Patty attended, and therefore she was able to witness Patty's eagerness for learning in more than one context. But it was as a Sunday school teacher that this woman went to Patty's home to speak with her father and to say, "You have to let your daughter go to college." Patty's father, although he was intelligent and hardworking, did not see much use in a college education, and especially, unfortunately, he didn't see much use for a young woman to go get a college education. Patty really doubted that there was much chance that he was ever going to think differently. But somehow, this Sunday school teacher's knowledge of Patty's gifts and talents, combined with her credibility, she was a Sunday school teacher after all, and her courage won the day. Patty was allowed to leave the family home in Riverside and go all the way to Los Angeles to attend UCLA. She credits that Sunday school teacher and subsequently the university chaplain with significantly altering the course of her life in ways for which she will be forever grateful. She never lost track of where her mentors were or what they were doing in the world. This is a kind of learning and mutual support at which the church is able to excel. I know that I certainly have learned a great deal from people both older than me and younger than me around here, people who've been willing to openly talk about their faith and their questions and to share the truth as they see it and as they have experienced it. I cannot tell you for certain what my two daughters learned from their first Sunday school teacher, who was Peggy Hansen, but I can tell you what I learned. Peggy taught me that an actual crisis is extremely rare. Mostly, there's nothing to worry about. Your kids are fine. They're developing the way they are supposed to, and they are becoming themselves. You can remain calm, act according to your best judgment, and ignore those who are trying to tell you that all of your parenting choices are wrong. Peggy's in the back row, so if anybody needs this encouragement directly from here, feel free to have coffee with her. She made cookies for us to enjoy this morning. Peggy also taught me that if there should happen, in a rare circumstance, to be an actual legitimate crisis, you can still remain calm and you can take the necessary steps to deal with it. Peggy's philosophy of Sunday school for young children, as I recall it, this is a little dangerous because she's right here to correct me, is to bring snacks and read a lot of books. She wanted the kids who spent time with her here on Sunday morning to be able to look back and remember their early church experience as a time and a place where they felt cared for, they ate something yummy, and they had a good time. I'm really glad to see Peggy joining Dee for the occasional youth activity or older kids Sunday school class. I have found her to be a very encouraging person to know. I also cannot say enough about how very happy I am that where we once just had Peggy as our children's Sunday school teacher, Now we have something in the neighborhood of 20 Sunday school teachers, each sharing love and creativity and faith with the children and the youth of our congregation and our community. Malia Sandstrom has been the Sunday school coordinator for about 14 years now, and there was a time before D when Malia and her son Dennis were also the youth ministry team. From Dennis and Malia, I learned, and I think probably they learned first from Malia's parents, Dennis's grandparents, Harold and Dion. You see, there have been many generations of this family to be part of the church here. But I learned from this clan that it's really worth the effort to find space and create space in which kids can feel at home. Malia pays attention to the pictures, the toys, the books, the arrangement of the furniture in the classroom. She realizes that children learn from absolutely everything around them. Dennis, when he was a youth ministry leader here, was the one who said, "How about we take all that junk off the stage, get rid of it maybe, and then refinish the floor there and outfit it as a youth space?" He saw wonderful potential for ministry in an area that had become invisible to us because we were using it to store it, to store stuff that we did not actually need. And I'm sure it would and does do Dennis's heart good when he visits now from Seattle to see kids playing hockey and foosball in that area on Sundays after church and to see small groups meeting there to watch a movie or use a video-based curriculum. The more that we do, I learned from these folks, the more that we do to help kids feel at home, the more assured that the kids are going to be. We actually want them to be here. We mean for them to be here, finding God right alongside us so-called grown-ups. In God, we live and move and have our being, as some of the Greek poets once said, and as Paul chose to affirm. I don't know anyone who demonstrates the living of that truth better than Dee. Her simple confidence that God surrounds, loves, and accepts each person makes her totally fun and comfortable to be around. From Dee, I have learned that ministry is about providing resources, creating opportunity, offering a supportive environment, and then trusting God, God who is ever near, to be moving within and among the gathered group so that each person can have the experience of grace, joy, comfort, guidance, challenge, connection, or rest that they most need. She's helped me to see that, yes, good preparation is important, but there's also a time to just relax and see how God's Spirit emerges in a given context or setting. The kids and the teens here are so blessed by the adults they get to be around. Likewise, we adults, with varying accumulations of decades, are very blessed by the kids and the teens and the partners in worship and ministry that we get to be around. The kids teach us to run toward what excites us. The youth teach us that one good way to learn is by asking questions until we are satisfied that we really understand. The people sitting next to us in the pews teach us that there's something to be gained from wrestling with this Bible, that persistence in prayer is a path to becoming aware of God's nearness. And thank you for bringing that message today, Jolene. They teach us that service opens our eyes to the presence of Christ and that generosity increases God's capacity to be at work in our midst. The more we share our observations, our perceptions, our stories and interpretations and experiences with one another, the more we learn about God's qualities and God's desire to be known by us in a way that gives meaning and purpose to our lives. The people sitting next to us in the pew all carry with them surprising insights and understandings about God's wisdom, God's timing, God's love, and God's grace. When we open our ears and take the time to listen to one another, as the Athenians did in a rather formal way, take time to listen to Paul, we might hear something that actually doesn't yet make sense to us. Or, on the other hand, we might hear some breathtaking understanding about the nearness and the power of God. We might even hear something that opens new avenues of spiritual growth for us to explore. I'm constantly learning from and learning alongside each of you, just as I have from everyone who has spent time here sharing of themselves in the life of this church. The wonderful thing is that as a family of faith, we all get to be teachers and we all get to be learners wherever we go. Thank you, God, for never leaving us alone. We are not orphans because you have claimed us and you are with us. We are your children too, as are so many others, living and dead. We trust you, O God, to treasure each one of us and to comfort those who have lost dear ones in the ravages of war, and to move us all to action in striving to build a world characterized by peace, in which such losses will no longer take place. We are grateful, O God, for all that you teach us through our relationships with one another here in this community of faith. May our spirits become stronger and our understandings more true as both together and individually we reach out to love you and serve you. We thank you, gracious God, for the good times we've shared and the hope we gain from experiencing your life in the midst of our lives. Joining our voices as your children, we pray now together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.